But let me just tell you a story. And it's found in Matthew chapter 16. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. But it's a story where Jesus had traveled to the northern part of Israel, just past the Sea of Galilee. And he was hanging out with his disciples, and he went to a place called Caesarea Philippi. That particular part of Israel was governed by a man named Philip, and they decided to name it Caesarea Caesar, after the Caesar in Rome, Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus went there with his disciples, and if you could imagine the scene, this huge rock, a large mountain, and there the Lord is on the side of the mountain with the 12 disciples. Down below, all types of evil things were going on, you see. There was the worship of the god of Pan. There was immorality of all kinds going on. There was sacrificing of children to the god of Molech. All kinds of evil was going on below the Lord Jesus. And he looked at his disciples and he said to them, "Hey boys," and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And some of them said, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others say that you're Elijah who has come back." And Jesus said, No. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, Brother Pete, that great fisherman, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked at Peter and the disciples, and imagine all the junk going on below them. He says, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. You are Peter, and upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Family, we're brothers and sisters, we're like-minded churches, but now you are a part of God's ordained organism to promote His glory in the world. And that's something to be extremely excited about. And the truth that the gates of hell cannot prevail, come against what God has started. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 teaches us that God is faithful to complete His work until that day. This is a work that God has prepared, and I just am so blessed to have another like-minded fellowship, people that teach the Word of God, the absolute truth, and won't vacillate to the right or to the left to promote God's glory. And when Jesus looked at the disciples and He said, "Peter," or "Petros," little rock, not Pope Rock, but little rock, "Petros, I will build my church upon that Petra, that rock of truth," this huge rock, literally probably 20 times as big as this building. And God has begun a good work here. I just wanted to encourage you with a few things. God is building His church for His glory with His people. You see, it's all about God. It's not about us. Amen. It's about the Lord, God building His church for His glory with His people. And Temecula Hills Christian Fellowship is a part of God's plan to tell the world that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And what a blessing that is to be a part of that. So a few things I just encourage you with. I like to call these the P's of a church. If you're taking notes or you just want to think about this, I believe the first and foremost goal of your fellowship, of our fellowship, of those fellowships who are part of God's church is, number one, to promote God's glory. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So as a fellowship that's been called out to promote God's glory, ask yourself a question. Everything you do, does this bring God glory? Because that's all that truly counts. Psalm chapter 115, verse 1 says that He's worthy to be praised. It's all about the Lord. So as a work that God is using for His purpose, make sure, ensure, make it happen that you promote God's glory everywhere you go. Secondly, I encourage you to pursue love in all things. You see, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the apostle of love, John, he said to love not just in word and in rhetoric, but to love in deed and in truth. Not only be a church that promotes God's glory, but be a church that pursues God's love, the agape, unconditional, non-reciprocal, expecting nothing in return, no strings attached supernatural love that comes from God's heart into your heart and through your life into others. Pursue love and live it. Don't just say it, live it. Because as a church, it is so powerful when we live Jesus in the acts of love in a community that truly does need the Lord. Just a quick story. I know Andy said I have 7 minutes, right? Last time I came, I spoke for an hour and Rob got really upset. So pray for, is he here tonight? Oh, good. I could talk about him. No, he didn't. Where was I with that? Oh, our church. We have a neighbor. And this is a great story because it's about God's love. It's about the church. It's not about my wife or me. They're Jehovah's Witnesses and have pursued Jehovah's Witnesses since the day they were born. In fact, they are third generation Jehovah's Witness family. And for over 4 years, my brother and I have gone over there and just shared Jesus, the truth of the word. And for time after time after time, they had informed us we want nothing to do with that Bible. We have our own Bible. Well, through a series of circumstances and 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, which is our heart as a church, we want to live love in deed and in truth, to have tangible acts of love. She became pregnant, you see, and she wouldn't mind me sharing this. And she was an alcoholic, is an alcoholic, but she is in recovery now. And she had a very difficult pregnancy. And so one of our elders was out to lunch with my wife and his wife and some other people. I was somewhere else. But he said, why don't we as a church take them food at least once a week for 3 months until the baby is born? So we took food to this family. And her husband and her were fighting, bantering, going through their issues. Well, come to find out, she began to ask us, is your church talk about a God that condemns and is judgmental, or would your church tell me about a God that would love me and not put me down because I've struggled with alcoholism? And of course, we told her that God just wanted to embrace her and love her to health, not condemn her to isolation. And after the 3 months were up, the baby was born and had alcohol, fetal syndrome problems, and her husband left her and her car was broken down. Our church came alongside, paid for the car to be fixed. And to make a long story short, because it's all about God's glory, amen? It's all about pursuing love. You ready? You want to hear what happened? On her knees with my wife and I and her two little children, in tears with just great joy, 2 weeks ago, last night, she opened up her heart to the truth of Jesus Christ and denounced the witness cult. And now God is most glorified because of love coming not through me, my wife, but through the body of Christ, that rock of truth, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So be a church family that promotes God's glory, that pursues God's love. Be a church also that prays often. It's so important to pray individually. We're beginning this study in our church today. I went, I think, 30 minutes on just one verse. It was a busy morning. But we as a body of Christ need to pray, and you need to pray individually every day. Jesus taught on that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He said, when you pray, go to your room. And the room in the original language is a storehouse. And in Greek, the storehouse meant a place where treasures are, and can be obtained. So individually as a church, pray every day, pray often, go to the room, your quiet place, that you might have the treasure of intimacy and precious communion with the Creator of the world. But also pray corporately as a church. It's so important for Andy, for Rob, and for Randy, the leaders of this church, that you pray individually for them, but you pray collectively as a church. You see in Acts 12, a great biblical example of the church coming together to pray. Peter was released. You know the story. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 teaches us a life of prayer, to pray without ceasing. So promote God's glory, pursue love, pray often. And this is so dear to your leadership's heart, this next P, and I'm so blessed with this because we live in a day that we have relativistic teaching from American pulpits that the true gospel of Jesus Christ is watered down, where repentance isn't taught, where we serve a God that's a good friend, and you have liberties, but in reality, we serve a God of absolutes. So I encourage you to protect God's absolute. Protect God's word. Teach it, live it, and abide only by it. I encourage you. 1 John 4:1, and throughout 1 John, it teaches that the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world today, that many wolves will come in and try and turn people from the truth. Stick to God's word. Be an Acts 17:11 type of believer, that you check everything that is said from this pulpit with the absolute truth of God's word. You see, what's happening is we have a culture that is caving into what is known as its tolerance. Well, it's okay what you do. I just won't do it, but I'm not going to do what you do. I'm going to do my thing. But really, God gives us a blueprint. You know what I'm saying? So promote God's glory, pursue God's love, pray often, protect God's absolute. Fifthly, practice koinonia. Hang out together. I think church was meant to be a place of fellowship and fun. And that's why I teased this little brother about his hair. But, you know, I'd like to have hair like that, but God won't let me. But, you know, don't you think God wants us to have a good time? I think Peter and John and James hanging out there at the Sea of Galilee, walking along the course, they didn't golf then, the seashore, whatever that is. They had fun. They fellowshiped. They cried together. They laughed together. They wept together. They were together. Promote fellowship. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Come together often as a body of believers. Link arms. Practice koinonia." And then sixthly, provide ministry opportunity. And I know this fellowship will. I just know Andy's heart so well. Of course, the text is Ephesians 4:12. You've studied that, have gone through it. Look for ways as church congregants, as attendees of a church, to get involved. Don't come to church to be blessed. That's what we call meology. Life's about me. I'm going to go to the church and just get filled. You come to the church to be a blessing, and the spiritual principle, the biblical mandate, is that you'll be blessed as a byproduct, but you come to serve God. And this body of believers, I believe, is going to do incredible things as the leadership here, your new elder board that is forming, will be providing ministry opportunities. And then lastly, proclaim salvation. It's the greatest blessing we have to lead somebody out of darkness, Ephesians 2:1, who are totally 100% dead in their sins, that the Holy Spirit comes alongside and quickens them and brings life to them. For whatever reason, in God's sovereignty, He's allowed us to be a part of that process. Proclaim God's salvation wherever you go. Acts 1:8, Jesus is talking to the disciples. What did He say? He said, "But you shall receive power after this. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. Tell people about Jesus here. Tell people about Jesus there. Be involved in world evangelism, because we have a world that is, I believe, coming to a quick conclusion. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and what a blessing we have to take the antidote for sin called Jesus and provide salvation. So promote God's glory, pursue God's love, pray often, protect God's absolute, practice koinonia, provide ministry opportunity, and proclaim salvation. And the beauty of all of this, and we could go on and on and on with other applications. God has called you together and called you from different places to come together as a family, a church that God wants to promote His glory and His love in and through, that God would be honored. And so it's such a blessing. You have an incredible leadership team. I respect these guys so much. And if my church fires me, I'm going to be coming to look for a job, okay? Don't laugh. No, I'm teasing. But what a blessing. Can I pray for you guys? It's so exciting. Give me a smile. We have a thing at our church. We like to see teeth. That's a good one. Can you show everybody? No, okay. Let me pray for you. Father, what a blessing to be here, Lord, just with awesome people, Lord, that you've redeemed, that you've brought life to. Father, I know quite a few of them, others I've never seen, but Lord, I just know and sense in my spirit that there's family here because of the oneness of the Spirit, the fellowship that you give us, Lord, because of Christ. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless this fellowship. Father, help them not to simply do church, but Lord, may they be church. Father, may they be a body of believers that don't simply do Christianity, but Father, it flows from who they are because you are alive in their life. And Father, I pray that much, much fruit is born through this ministry for your glory. Lord, be glorified, be honored, be praised in the life here of Temecula Hills Christian Fellowship. Lord, we ask you to bless them big time so that you are blessed, Father, and that you are glorified. We love you and praise you, and it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray, and all God's precious saints said, amen. God bless you guys.
Hello. In addition to getting to share with you today, Andy asked if I could share a passage of Scripture, and he asked that it would be Galatians 1, 13 to 24, so I'll just read it first and then share with you my thoughts. If you want, you can go ahead and turn there. I'll give you a little bit of time. Again, it was Galatians 1, 13 through 24. For you have heard of the former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, "He who persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy." And they were glorifying God because of me. I think this verse just so captures us as a body. Just the former life that Paul said he had, and then what God took him from and did in and through him. I was just thinking about the last year and all that God's done, and was just totally amazed. I mean, look at how many people we have here right now. And whatever it was, 8, 9 months ago, we were in a barn. And it's just amazing, especially when I think about, you know, who God's been using. I mean, the fact that I got to be a part of it. And I mean, I know Paul thought that he was the chief of all sinners, but he was wrong. It was me. And just the fact that I get to be used, I'm just like so amazed. And the things that God's been doing and in the lives of my friends and family and the things I've seen you guys learning and growing and doing, it's just like there's no way we can explain it at all except by the power of God, which is totally awesome. And earlier today when I was at Starbucks, just reading this over, I kind of started laughing to myself because when Paul said, you know, my former life of Judaism, just like Andy said, I was like, oh, my former life of screaming. And I was like, wow, I've come a long way since then. But again, it's totally not by me at all. And I was just like, man, I was just sitting there just totally blown away, not knowing what to talk about. And I don't know, I've just been so blessed in all that God's done and the way that I've seen him using all of us and the fact that we have had to step up and everyone in the body has had to serve. And I mean, that's church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And it's just amazing to see it. And then in verse 23 and 24, where Paul says that they just kept hearing that he who once persecuted the church and tried to destroy it is now preaching the faith. And because of it, they're glorifying God. And I just thought, that's us. When I think of you guys, when I think of what my friends and family have done, I just glorify God because it is amazing the things that he's doing. And I mean, we have like 70-something high schoolers showing up every week to worship and pray. I mean, that's all we do. We get together, we read the Bible, and we worship, and people keep coming. And I'm totally blown away because it's nothing that we do. It's just totally the power of God. And just as we move to the new building and next phase of our body, I'm really excited because as much fun as it's been here, it's been too easy. Really, it has. And, I mean, we come in and the chairs are set up. which really I'm bummed about because I love setting up chairs. So I hope none of you join chair ministry because I want to do it. But actually I do because, you know, that'll be the body and we can work together. But it's just, I'm looking forward to it because there's going to be so many more service opportunities when we move. And again, if you guys don't join, that's fine. I'll do it because that's what we all like to do. And we'll drive ourselves crazy like Andy and Alex, you can tell, are already a little sick. They don't know when to stop. They just love serving God. It's so amazing. And he still uses us. Anyway, I just wanted to share. Oh, there goes my Bible. Philippians 1, verses 21 through 26. This is Paul again. And this is one of my favorite passages, and also I think a really good passage for us as we do move into the next phase of life. Starting in verse 21, it says, For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. And, I mean, if this can be our heart as we move into the church, if all of us are so excited to not be on earth anymore and go and be with God because of how amazing he is and just the fact that we won't have to struggle with sin anymore, oh, I can't wait. Our focus will be totally upon God and not upon us. And so our joy and our life will not be dependent upon our circumstances but upon our God, and he never changes. And if we also have the mindset that while we're here for others, to serve them and give to them. And if that's why we come to church, is to glorify God and hopefully someday soon go and be with him. But while we're here, use every second we have to serve other people. That's what the body is. And we will just flourish and grow. Well, hopefully. But through the Spirit, we will flourish and grow. We won't, but that's what God wants for us. If we can all have this heart, then who knows where we're going to go. But that's the heart I've seen in my friends and I've seen in this body so far. And I just pray that we would continue to have that focus, because otherwise, if we try and do the work on our own, oh man, are we going to fall flat on our faces.
Open your Bibles to Galatians. Let's take one last look at that passage that Luke read for us. You know, communion time for me always is a time of contemplation, of personal reflection and evaluation. And I've taken part in communion in so many different ways. But my heart goes back to the same thing every time. It always goes back to considering big questions, considering where I am in my life with Christ, and keeping my eyes fixed on the cross and the redemptive work done there. And tonight we've had a number of things already that would cause us to contemplate. As Randy shared, and he gave us a charge, a challenge, an encouragement as to what the church, the body of Christ, should be, what it looks like. I hope you wrote those things down. What a great thing for us tonight to individually evaluate, to think about how we further those different points that Randy shared. Are we a part of those things, or are those things we watch and hope that somebody else does? Great thing to contemplate and evaluate. In this passage, In Galatians 1, starting at verse 18, actually going back to where Luke read at 13, he takes time to look back, Paul does, at his life. And he doesn't cover everything, but he covers some major events, some major points in his ministry. And what he's doing here is affirming not only who he is, but also the message that he preaches. Clearly, in verse 20, you see that there must have been those calling him out as a liar, because he boldly says, "I am not lying about these things." And we've heard Randy and then Marcel last week teach us about the details as it pertains to Paul's life and ministry. And the last thing Marcel shared last week that we rushed him on, that we were sad, was a changed life. That Paul exemplified a changed life, didn't he? From where he came from to where he is now. I just want to give you three more things to contemplate. And that's it. And then we're going to take part in communion tonight. The first, Are you changed? You see, when Saul interacted with Jesus, his life was radically changed. We point to this story all the time, as well we should. But do we see similar change in our own lives because of Jesus Christ? And that's a tough question for some, because oftentimes we claim Christianity, or someone might claim Christianity, and there is no change. Life goes on as it did before. And that's very difficult to accept, to say, well, Jesus Christ is here, done a redemptive work in a sinner, and yet there's no change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're here tonight and all things have not become new for you, if you are still living in the nature of sin rather than in a nature of holiness, with the Holy Spirit being or dwelling in you and your body becoming that temple, then there is no Christ, and it's time to evaluate, just like the Bible tells us before communion. We would ask ourselves that tough question. Are we in the truth? For many of us here, because I know most of you, if not all, the real question is the second one. Do we continue to be changed? You see, the work of change in our lives is not a one-time deal. It wasn't, bam, we accepted Christ in our life, we have eternal salvation, and we're done. We've changed. And someday, hopefully, we'll be, you know, like Christ in heaven. But during this time, hey, we've got changed and we're all set and good to go. Well, clearly we know as believers that that's not true. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed. And you guys know the passage, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The avenue for transformation, the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the perfect Word of God. And oftentimes we look for other avenues to be transformed, to be emotionally changed. But for a real transformed life, we have to pour over the Word of God into our lives consistently, daily, all the time. Can we consistently answer a simple question like, what is God teaching you through His Word today? Are we a body that consistently, individually, is studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, pursuing teaching of the Word of God, like here, in Bible studies, in your own homes, parents with your children? Is that how we're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and transform our minds? So I think there's a confusion with heart and mind, as if there's some major difference. See, it's the same. It's our mind, it's our thinking. It's our understanding that has to be changed, and only through God's truth. So consider tonight, do you continue to be changed? And Paul's last statement in verse 24 is that they glorified God in him. They glorified God. Luke shared, Randy shared the same concept. Does our life magnify the greatness of God? Think just about your daily life, your waking up, your job, your work, your family, your time with your children. Husbands, your time with your wife. Wives, time with your husband. In all those things, do we magnify the greatness of our God? That's the glory of God, that we would show this world how great and awesome our God is, that we would make that crystal clear. Now, I would love for that to happen right here as the body, and it needs to. And Luke's right. There's going to be tons of opportunity for us to serve and to love one another and to build each other up, from the very little things to the seemingly bigger things of teaching, guiding, leading ministries. But when it comes to magnifying the greatness of God, that needs to happen in our daily lives. Everywhere we go, and everything we do, and everything we say. And at times that falls by the wayside. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And 1 Peter 4:11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." At the end of January, we met together to pray and to sing, to read the Word, and to take part in communion. I had no idea what God was doing. I had no idea the need and the desire of the people here to be a family. So as we enter a new stage, we move next week to 9:30, if you haven't heard the announcement, 9:30 next Sunday morning. I know you're all sitting here wondering the whole time. I was shooting for 7:30, they didn't go for it. You thought I had authority, didn't you? Never for the little guy. We each have to take a look and say, okay, we're going to be the body of Christ. We're not going to attend. We're not going to just listen. And we have to go back to basics, biblically. Randy talked about Ephesians chapter 4. Go back and look at it. Start at about verse 8 through 14. And read through there and ask yourself, what is my role? Where do I fit in? What are my responsibilities? And go beyond responsibilities into what is my joy? And praise God that He might use you and use me to glorify Himself. Because that's the end result. I love that Randy started with that tonight. There are many things that we do as a church, many things that God can use us for, but ultimately that He would be magnified as the one true, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's why we meet here. That's why we're a family. I'm going to take us into a time of communion, and I'm going to ask Mark to lead us through that. Alex, would you guys come back and allow us time to prepare? Before Alex leads us into a next song, as we get ready for communion, I'd like to give you the opportunity that I like to have and to just be quiet for a few moments. Just be quiet. Contemplate some of the things that have been shared tonight. Contemplate some of the scripture that's been read. And prepare your heart and mind to focus your eyes, your attention on the cross of Jesus Christ. And in a few moments, Alex will take us into a song of worship.